It's part of our sinful nature to become enamored with all the world has to offer, money, fame, fortune. But somehow the global pandemic has earned our complete attention. The ambitious pursuit for material gain has been eclipsed by a stronger desire to stay healthy. It's foolish to base our entire life on a world that's fading away. And today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues a message in which we're facing the harsh realities of our mortality. Our Bibles are open to 1 John chapter 2. Chuck titled his message, Strong Talk on the Cosmos.
When you fall in love with the world, you fall out of love with the Father. And so John is saying to us, don't fall in love with the stuff of this age. See 15, do not love the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So note that. Well, what does he mean by the things of the world? Well, look at verse 16. He names the lust of the flesh. Interesting word, lust. It's obsolete in our day. You rarely read of it. It's the Greek epithumia. It means a craving, a passionate desire. It's all about me, my comfort, my possessions, my money, my future, my career. The flesh craves that. William Barclay delineates it. It is to be gluttonous in food, effeminate in luxury, slavish in pleasure, lustful and lax in morals, selfish in the use of possessions, extravagant in the gratification of material desires. The flesh's desire is, regardless of the commandments of God, the judgment of God, and the standards of God. That's the flesh. And men and women who belong to Christ, listen to me, the flesh will never change. Just as you were in your lost estate, you are still there. We never will have that changed until we are taken to be with our Lord and made like him. So the goal, of course, is for the Spirit of God to restrain this inner craving for selfish gratification. Well, that's the cravings of the flesh. Look at the next one. It's a little, by the way, don't fall in love with those things. That's his point. Don't love the things the flesh craves. Don't go there. Now the cravings of the eyes. This would include sinful cravings activated by what people see that lead to covetousness and envy. Lust for clothing. Someone else is able to wear an expensive suit or outfit that you can't afford. Lusting for that expensive furniture, expensive house, a second home in the hill country or at the coast, or maybe a boat or an RV. These so-called symbols of success could even be abilities and titles and position and education that we lust after. Someone else is the president. I want to be the president of that outfit. Someone else is the senior whatever, and I want to be the senior whatever. Someone else is CEO, and I deserve to be certainly more than he. That's the lust of the eyes. The physique of another one. I mean, the TV is full of these hulks. And there's one other, the boastful pride of life. This would refer to arrogance, just plain elevation of oneself above another. One of the world's wags called it the glorification of the worm. Isn't that a good way to put it? Do we really need illustrations about this? Maybe so. Once a year on a Sunday night, the Academy Awards appear on television. How much lust goes on, not so much at the Academy, though certainly it does, but among those watching it. the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of winning the Academy. How about classic car auctions? I was watching one the other night, channel surfing, stayed at this channel and watched the classic cars roll by, an old Packard. Only $270,000, I mean, why not? How easy to lust after that kind of thing. You see where I'm going. The fast life of high society, wanting that clothing, wanting that hairdo. How about the professional sports world, paid obscene salaries for playing a little boy's game, and free agency comes. $100,000, $100 million for a lineman. A lineman. Try to interview him. Well, I always love reading Rick Ryan. Rick Riley used to write for Sports Illustrated. He rewrote funny stuff. I always read Sports Illustrated from the back forward because he always wrote the last page called The Life of Riley. He's now with ESPN, but back then while he was with Sports Illustrated. One of my favorite that he ever wrote is called Speaking of Class to the Graduating Class. And he's addressing, you know, in his mind, as this commencement speaker, all of these athletes that are going from college into professional sports. Listen to it. Thank you, graduates. Please be seated. It's an honor to address the college athletes who are going to the pros this year. If I may, I'd like to offer just a few pieces of advice. Every now and again, turn off Nintendo, shut off Spectrovision, and open a book. We already have enough jocks who think the Brothers Karamazov are the WWF Tag Team Champions. And if you ever hear yourself saying, they offered me $81 million, what an insult. Find a tire iron, go into a quiet room, and hit yourself several times on the shin. Here's another. Marry someone who has never heard of you. I like this one. If you write a book, read it before it comes out. Be careful with your money. Write your own checks. None of this power of attorney crap. Get an agent and a lawyer and tell each one of them you're a crook. Shock the world. Apologize when you screw up. Okay, so you didn't grow up with a father? Then go be one. Make a difference in the life of one kid who is not your own, and it'll give you more joy than a lifetime shoe contract. See that woman up there in section 595, row WW, seat 29? She makes $26,000 a year. She paid $22 for each ticket for her family, and she just plunked down $17 for three Cokes and a warm beer. Treat her nice. Without her, you're a 320-pound bouncer with half a PE degree. And go easy on the tattoos. By the time you're 60, the hula girl on your biceps is going to look like Don Knotts. That is a good line, Riley. All right. No offense, he ends with this, no offense, but when you're setting off the airport metal detector from the back of the line, you might have on too much jewelry. You think? It's the world system. You got it? Flaunt it! Hey! Hey! Who else making this kind of money? Let me tell you something, folks. He'll take none of it with him. I've buried lots of people, and they all have their hands open, and their hands are always empty. They're all dead. America is shot through with cravings of the flesh and cravings of the eyes and just a desire to be important. Wow! Nonsense. To quote my colonel, stupid. Why not live like the world system? Why not love the world system? Because we love God. Second, because of what the world represents, which we just gone over. And third, because every bit of it's going to be burned up. There's not going to be one 1937 Packard into eternity. There's not going to be one house in the hills getting into eternity. Not one title that somebody you envy has earned that's going to make it past the grave. Not one. This is the way to live life. In fact, he says, look at the contrast. The world is passing away in its lusts. So when you love the cosmos, you're embracing what's temporal. It's like loving a car, paying for a car, getting the car, and driving it off the cliff. It's going out of style, if not out of existence. You're embracing what is temporal. And when you're doing God's will, you're living for what is eternal. Are we ever? It doesn't mean we're more important than any other individual. It just means by the grace of God, we've been caught before we did the most stupid thing in life. That's to live for ourselves and spend eternity without the one who made us. Now let me say some very personal and practical things that I hope will add sensibility and practicality. Guard against extremes when you apply what you just heard, okay? Guard against extreme. Here's one extreme. This extreme comes from those who mean well, but it's bad advice. Isolate yourself. That's the answer when you have to live in the cosmos. Isolate yourself. The old monks did it behind a wall. Problem is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life went with them. But they didn't mingle with the worldlings. Those who say isolate yourself would add, don't own a television. Don't ever go to a movie, ever, ever. Don't own a computer. You can punch up internet. Pooh! Stay away from all people who are worldly and driven by cravings of life. Don't watch sports. That's a show of pride. Don't own an iPhone. Don't watch sports. Don't own an iPhone. Don't pay any attention to fashion or anything that's updated. Don't buy nice cars or new clothing or good furniture. Keep yourself plain and drab and colorless. Isolate, stay gray. Stay gray. I rarely quote people like this, but the other day I heard Ted Turner refer to Christians as a bunch of bozos and idiots. And the reason he did is because it's with those kind of people he must have been around. We are neither. And John is not saying become a freak in the 21st century. That's a wrong application. I mean, think of what Jesus said. Father, I ask you not to take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil of the world. The answer is not isolation, it's insulation. When will we ever learn that? You can be the most winsome, magnetic individual and never once go on drugs. Never once fall into addiction to alcohol. Never once run around with somebody else's mate. You can live like this. And you can be happy and winsome and a delightful person to be around. And the worldling will want to know, how on earth do you live like this and not act like us? You can be the friendliest person in the neighborhood, not a bozo or an idiot or a freak. We're not asking to be isolated. Paul says, I wrote you in another letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean immoral people of this world, for then you'd have to go out of the world I mean, you don't ask the person that does your dry cleaning, are you a believer? I'm not going to let you do my dry cleaning. Can a non-believer do good dry cleaning? Checkout stand, to ask the gal at the checkout stand, are you a Christian? No, well, I'm not taking my groceries here. I'm going to go to a Christian store where we buy Christian food and we drink Christian coffee and we have Christian ketchup and we enjoy Christian meat. See how stupid? Silly. The enemy will do anything to push us to extremes, even if it's adjusting a window shade. Isolating is not the answer. The second says, assert yourself. Now, he's even worse. Be obnoxious. Insult people who don't know Christ. Put down people that are living with somebody else's mate or not married. Be sure you insult them because you're a Christian. Yeah, you'll really win them to Christ. How did you come to Christ? Well, this friend insulted me and I just couldn't stay away from Jesus. Wonderful. Very helpful. Cynthia and I were at a banquet. They served nice things at the banquet. It happened to be at a lovely hotel, and we had a great evening, and we walked out, and here stood four well-meaning people with big placards against the worldliness of our being at a nice banquet. And so they decided it was their calling to insult all the people that were at the banquet when they left. You know, they could have said that they were Christians, but you came to this real nice banquet and enjoyed this nice evening. Please. Vernon McGee put it well. We're never told to clean up the fish bowl. We're told to fish. You can't clean up the fish bowl. Fish. I say to every congressman I know, make a difference for Christ in the midst of a setting that's almost impossible. Count for Christ. Win them over. So what's the answer? Discipline yourself. Don't isolate yourself. Don't assert yourself. Discipline, which means restrain yourself. Control your cravings. When you're on the internet, don't go to the bad site. It's stupid when you do. You'll get into trouble. Furthermore, it's sin, and you'll get addicted. And then you'll be found out, and you'll mess up your home and family and life. Don't go there. But it doesn't mean you can't have a computer. You can even have an iPhone. Just don't get addicted to it. It's the most amazing thing in the world. You walk out of places, and everybody's like this. Hey, how are you doing? Wait. How about drivers? Other day I was at a green light that changed three times. I did very well with that, you might want to know. By the way, I close with this true story. I said to a good friend of mine in ministry, I said, well, I'm in 1 John 2 next Sunday, 12-17. He said, man, I remember when I was a youth pastor, he said, I did something I had never heard anybody else had ever done. I thought it was a great idea. He said, I told all the kids, we had about 150 high schoolers. And I said, when you go home this afternoon from church, rummage around in your house and find a few old magazines, not the ones your mom is keeping or they're important to your dad, but old magazines, getting ready to throw them away. And, you know, Sports Illustrated, Glamour, one of the tabloids, or one of those. And every time you find something on the page that relates, on any page that relates to the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life, just tear out the page. And then next Sunday, bring the magazine. Bring what's left. The most any kid brought was four pages. Several brought just the front and back, and one of them said, the back is kind of raunchy, but I'd have had nothing if I'd have left that off. Most of the kids had done it and brought nothing back. Front, back, every page. Appeals to the flesh, the eyes. Let me tell you, we live in a really smart world system. They know what turns us on. Or what they want us to get turned on over. The only way I can see any hope for us in surviving and counting for Christ is that we know Him personally. Let's bow our heads together. If you've never personally taken the gift which I referred to earlier, this is a great time for you to do that. God has brought you to this place in your life. He's quieted you. He's slowed you down. He's had you listen very attentively. Now he's saying in so many words, listen to that man. Those words will help you. But you are helplessly out of power to change without Christ. So right now is the moment. Right now. Join the ranks of fellow believers that stay in the world and are learning to discipline ourselves in the midst of it. Believe on the Lord Jesus. You'll be delivered. Father, thank you for the way you speak to us in a world that's lost its way. Control us and restrain us and discipline our minds and give us a winsome understanding of those who are hopelessly caught and lost. Rather than mimicking their ways, may we become the exception that draws them instead of turning them off. And may they realize that there is no life like the one Christ can give. I pray in his matchless name. Everyone said, Amen.
It's clear that the wisdom in 1 John applies to every aspect of our lives. And although written 2,000 years ago, it's remarkable how this book speaks into life in 2020. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled Strong Talk on the Cosmos. Now please stay with us because Chuck will share a closing illustration in just a moment. To learn more about Chuck or this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. We've been praying that God would use today's message to inspire you to take your next steps in understanding the Bible. Nothing will accelerate your view of the world, and nothing will help you cope with the current challenges imposed by the pandemic, quite like reading His Word. To help you, we're pleased to offer the Swindoll Study Bible. Each of the 66 books in the Bible includes helpful overviews to give you context. And each book is populated with application, prayer moments, living insights, and more. This legacy Bible gives you access to decades of Chuck's personal study in the Scriptures. To purchase a copy of the Swindoll Study Bible right now, go to insight.org/offer. Or call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial this number, 1-800-772-8888. I'll repeat our contact information, including our mailing address, in just a moment. And then please bear in mind that 1 week from tomorrow, Insight for Living Ministries will close the books on another year of broadcasting. June 30th marks the end of our financial year. Perhaps it goes without saying that the coronavirus has imposed financial challenges on us all, including this nonprofit ministry. And we're asking every listener to participate by giving a generous gift. Chuck?
Dross is an archaic word that dates back to the 15th century. We don't use dross very often today. The dictionary defines the term as the scum that forms on the surface of molten metal. It's the impurity, maybe we could call it the crud, that rises to the top when precious metals are exposed to intense heat. Well, in the season of fiery trials, when we find ourselves isolated in self-quarantine, the word dross comes to mind. It appears that God has plunged our world into a crucible. His refiner's fire is doing its mysterious work of purification in ways we never saw coming. The truth is, we learn very little when the heat is turned down and life runs along smoothly. Conversely, the best lessons in life are learned under fire, when the heat is up. Paul once wrote, "That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. As you and I walk through this difficult season together, let's covenant to take pleasure in the troubles we suffer for Christ, okay? Rather than rush ahead to easier days, let's pause and ask God to refine our character and forge noble virtues into our lives. I leave you with the timeless words of the hymn writer John Rippon, who used the word dross in the fourth verse of a powerful hymn many of you have sung all your life, How Firm a Foundation. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. In times like these, the hope-filled message of Insight for Living cannot be silenced. It must be amplified. And as we come to the close of our financial year, I'm counting on you to generously support Insight for Living, perhaps as never before, so that our daily visits can continue. Thanks so much. I look forward to hearing from you today.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And to respond to the need, you can call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or give a donation online at insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Join us again Tuesday when Chuck Swindoll describes the disturbing realities of our times, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Strong Talk on the Cosmos, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.